My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with another edition of Phillies Today. Before I talk about anything, before I talk about the All-Star game, the trade deadline, so much stuff to get to today, we got the Phils back tonight. I am so glad that we are done this All-Star break now and that we can get going with the second half of the season, because I got to tell you, not having the Phils on this week, it's been brutal. Like, I don't realize how much, like, I depend on the Phils night after night to just get me, you know, through my week and just get me to the end of the week, but man, it felt really slow this week. As fun as the All-Star Game stuff was, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute here, I just miss the Phils, man. They've been such a joy to watch every night this year, and I'm just really glad that they're coming back. And, you know, it's going to be till November, let's say, until we don't have them, you know, let's say every night. So, glad to have the Phils back. Miss them, need them, and it's time to go on the run. So, second half gets going tonight. Phils will be in Pittsburgh. I'll also get to a preview of the Pirates series. I'm going to talk about, you know, my most important Philly going forward this year into the second half. You know, can they or should they go for the wins record? And as I just said, deadline stuff and All-Star takeaways as well. And so we'll see where that gets us. But going to jump right into this thing because really excited to talk Phils today as they're coming back tonight in Pittsburgh. And first thing I got to talk about is the All-Star stuff this week because, of course, you knew Bryce was going to do it up for his first time as an All-Star, as a Philly in Texas. And, you know, he did a little pandering to the Texas fans, I will say. Had the cowboy hat, the cowboy boots and everything, the whole outfit on the day of the All-Star game, which, you know, only in Bryce fashion as he would have done that. And it was just cool seeing all of them there. It was cool seeing Trey. It was cool seeing Boom. They had him mic'd up during the game, and I thought, you know, Trey made that really nice play with them all mic'd up. That was a pretty cool moment. Chris Sanchez gets his moment in the All-Star game where, for some reason, Torey Lovullo, the Arizona Diamondbacks manager who was the manager of the National League All-Stars, only has Chris Sanchez pitch two total pitches. Yeah, two pitches. He gets two outs on two pitches and then gets pulled from the game, which was just, you know, unreal. And he makes Jeff Hoffman the closer, but of course, you know, for some reason, even with the DH being gone now, the American League just beats the National League every year. It's the craziest thing, except when Rob Thompson was the manager last year. So that's 10 out of the last 11 All-Star games that the American League has won, which is just crazy. But Hoffman was the closer, but he still got in anyway. He got out. Matt Strom faced one hitter. He got an out as well. And it was just really cool to see them all kind of succeed in the All-Star game here. And I'll tell you what, it was not the Phillies' fault that the National League lost the All-Star game. Trey, Boehm, Harper, all it hits. The pitchers did well. So can't complain in terms of losing the All-Star game. Can't complain about the Phillies. So that was good to see there. And, of course, the Boehm home run derby stuff I actually thought was really cool. He really shocked a lot of people. Did quite well in the first round. I think he had a final score of 21. And the rules were a little interesting this year. I really did like the derby, but I do think the bonus round combined with, you know, the timed first round made for a pretty long home run derby. I think it was almost 3 hours. And I thought he clearly put a lot of work into it. And obviously people are worried that it's going to mess up his swing. I don't think it will, because the way that his batting practice coach, or his, you know, derby thrower, pitched to him, he pitched all high pitches to him, which is like how Alec Boehm swings anyway, like a level swing that's, you know, even plane. And I thought it was an interesting way to pitch to him, because it kind of, you know, eases into his swing path a little, you know, more naturally. So Boehm did awesome in the home run derby. And a big talking point, Ben Verlander from Fox brought it up, was that the Phillies, all their all-stars stayed for the entirety of the Alec Boehm home run hitting contest. And I just thought that was one of the coolest things, because you saw the Dodgers, on the other hand, and Teoscar Hernandez, who actually ended up winning the thing. Only one Dodger stayed, and that was Tyler Glasnow. And I just thought it said a lot about, you know, what this Phillies team kind of is. And we talked about the chemistry, the camaraderie, and all that kind of for the last 2 years. And it's real. It's so real, because you could just see Bryce, you could see Trey, you could see all of them just getting so excited for Alec Boehm after he gets past the first round and he's in a great battle and gets to the pitch off with Teoscar there and loses. But it was really cool that they were all there for him, that they all stayed, because, you know, people have dinners with their families and they have other obligations that, you know, they want to do during the All-Star weekend. During the week, you only have a couple of days. So guys want to kind of hit everything, but they all stayed for their teammate, which I thought was really cool. And Boehm did a great job. I thought he was way better than we could have expected at the home run derby. So that was really cool to see. And it was a great week for the Phils overall. They got a lot of great pub from national writers and just a ton of national recognition for not only the great team that they are, but just the great camaraderie that they've sort of assembled here. And that's where I'm kind of going to transition into what I think is the biggest story right now with the Phillies, and that is with the trade deadline being less than 2 weeks away now, what's going to happen here, and are they going to make a move to kind of go all in pursuit of this title? And I'm going to I'll give a basis right here of what my thoughts and beliefs are going into this deadline, and that is that the World Series this year is theirs to win, and they do have to go into it with that mindset. And if we have to go all in and give up a prospect, that's what we have to do. But at the same time, I'm not giving up Aiden Miller or Andrew Painter unless it is the right deal. I'm not giving them up for something that's, you know, unproven or I'm unsure of. And I'm going to get into some names here in a second, but these are two, I think, generational type guys that could be a huge part of your organization for years to come, especially with Painter next year. Like, you add Andrew Painter to this rotation, my goodness, it's four all-star quality guys, and then you add a top pitching prospect in the sport. So that's where I'm hesitant, and it just has to be for the right guy. And so I'm going to start getting to some names here. My all-in guy is still Luis Robert. I think Kyle Tucker was probably that guy a few weeks ago. But with the way the AL West is shaking out and the way the wild card is out there too, the Astros are right in this thing, and they have a chance to win the AL West, matter of fact. So I don't think Kyle Tucker is going anywhere. I think he will stay an Astro. But to me, the top name is still Luis Robert. I think Luis Robert kind of hits all the boxes for you. You can play your everyday center field. He's a five-tool type of guy. I know the batting has been down this year, but since, you know, May or even June 1st, he has been much, much better, and I trust what he can kind of bring to this team in terms of a bat. And the big part is he's under team control for multiple more years. And if you add Luis Robert to this lineup, it's really the perfect fit, because what they're missing right now, you feel like, and part of it is that you lose and you didn't have him last year, but you lose Rhys Hoskins, is that you don't really have that right-handed power bat in the middle of your lineup. And we can talk about Nick Castellanos all day long, but at the same time, I just don't know if that consistency is ever going to be there while he's a Philly. So I think if you get Luis Robert, you're sticking him right in the middle of this lineup, and he's going to be a massive part of a World Series run for this team. So it just makes the lineup even deeper because everyone gets pushed down. He is a true five-tool type of guy. I know the average has been down, like I said, but it has been much better since the start of mid-May, early June. The OPS is still great. He's slugging .491, which, again, very impressive for the lack of hitting that he did in a big part of the first half of the year. So I'm a big advocate for Luis Robert. I think it's going to take a lot, and I'm not giving up a Juan Soto type of package for him where they gave up like James Wood, Mackenzie Gore, C.J. Abrams, a ton of major league quality prospects for him that, honestly, I think Washington definitely came out on top on that deal considering the Padres ended up trading Juan Soto to the Yankees. But I don't know if I'm giving up that type of haul for him, but I would start to be okay with giving up either Miller or Painter for him. And Robert's probably the only guy I'm trading either of those players for, if I'm being completely honest, because a lot of the talk recently has been about the very impressive closer from the A's, Mason Miller. And we just saw him in Philadelphia. He looked really, really good. As it was reported by many, he took the private jet to the All-Star game with the Phillies, much like Juan Soto did last year. And that's a common thing. I think people know that, but Major League Baseball just tries to get them all in the same place. And if they're ending a series in Philly, they're going to probably take their jet. Not that the A's have money to fly him out private. But at the same time, he's been really good this year. And would he make the Phillies a much better team this year? Absolutely. But I think between the team control aspect and just how young he is, it is absolutely going to take at least one of Aiden Miller and or Andrew Painter and then some to get him to Philadelphia. So the stuff is incredible. It speaks for itself. I mean, he is just, he's thrown 104. If you look at his Baseball Savant page, everything's red. The fastball velocity is just incredible. He's getting guys to chase, striking out 47% of hitters, which is just absolutely ridiculous. He's got a 2.27 ERA, an 0.86 WHIP, and he is incredible. And he's got tons of team control left. He's going to be a part of this thing for years to come. 25 years old, top prospect coming up. He checks all the boxes. My only concern is that, are you trading a potential cornerstone starting pitcher of the future if you're giving up Andrew Painter? Are you trading that for a guy who comes in to pitch one inning, every 2-3 games? I just don't know if that's... It's so tough because he is so talented. And would I be... If I see the alert from Jeff Passan when it comes across my phone that says Mason Miller's been traded to the Phillies, am I not going to be a little excited? Of course I'm going to be. But I just hesitate in terms of, I think you could build out this rotation really well next year with Andrew Painter. And I'm a big fan of Aiden Miller. I just think that he's been phenomenal in the minor league so far, and he shows every sign of being a real quality major league hitter. But again, this guy makes your team a lot better. So I don't blame Dave Dombrowski if he's wanting to go all in and get a Mason Miller type of guy. But I also think there are other closers out there that'll cost you much, much less that would still be really effective guys to put in your bullpen. Because, well, the Phillies bullpen down the stretch towards the All-Star break kind of faltered a little bit. You got to remember, this is still one of the best bullpens in baseball. Like, Matt Strom and Jeff Hoffman were All-Stars. I think Jose Alvarado really needs a rest coming up. I think that they have to find a way to shut him down for a little bit. And maybe the All-Star game worked, or the All-Star break worked, but I think he needs a rest for sure, and I think he's just a little tired out there. And they kind of shut him down like that 2 years ago, and then he went to the minor leagues, and it really ended up working out. So I think he kind of just needs a break here.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And I still really trust Orion Kerkering. I know he's had some inconsistencies throughout his young career, but I think he's potentially got the best stuff in that bullpen. He's been striking out more guys. He's also been trusting the fastball a lot more as well. And I think that he has the stuff to potentially be a closer for this team one day. People forget, he's still 23 years old. And he's striking out a lot more guys than he did last year. He's striking out 28% of hitters while being in the 94th percentile for walks. So that's really good. And does he get the chases and does he get the whiffs as much as a guy like Mason Miller or some other guys I'm going to tell you about would? No, but I think he does have the potential to be a closer for this team one day. And if they can get another closer with maybe less control that'll cost you less, I think that could be a perfect bridge to get to Orion Kerkering eventually. So some other guys I want to mention are, you have guys like Ryan Helsley from the Cardinals. And look, I know the Cardinals are kind of competing now, but I think that wild card is kind of a crapshoot in the National League right now. It just feels like there are a lot of meh type of teams that are competing just because, you know, the records have been so, a lot of the records have been around 500 for that wild card this year, aside from the Braves. So Helsley's really good. He's been much better this year than he was last, and he still was pretty good last year, but I think he's been absolutely locked down this year. He's got a 2.36 ERA, 1.17 whip. He's 99 mile an hour fastball with a really good slider, decent curveball in there as well. Doesn't give up a lot of hard hit balls either. He does walk some guys, but I think he'd be a really good option for this team. I believe he has one more year of team control after this year, so interesting there. I know Tanner Scott's a guy whose name has been mentioned in our division with the Marlins. Really does do a nice job of kind of from the left side, striking guys out, is able to lock things down. Obviously, the Marlins don't have a lot of save opportunities down there, but doesn't allow a lot of hard hit balls. Could throw with velocity, has a nice little pitch mix with the slider in there. And I just feel like there are other options out there you can go after. Pete Fairbanks, another guy from Tampa. Another interdivision guy, Kyle Finnegan from the Nationals. And there's another Nationals name that's been talked about that I'm going to mention as well. But in terms of a closer, I just think there are other options out there that won't cost you either of those top two guys. And as much as I love Mason Miller, I truly believe that is probably the best option to go down if you are Dave Dombrowski and the Phillies. But we'll see. Like I said, if they get Mason Miller, I'm not going to be upset about it. But if I am running the Phillies front office, I'm simply going to be really, really hesitant to give up either of those two guys unless it's for Luis Robert, because that is a guy who's going to play every day, who's going to really affect my lineup, and who I think is truly going to make a difference in winning a World Series or not, guaranteed. So, want to move off of that for a second. Actually, my other outfield names I want to talk about just before I move on to this Pirates preview. There's been another Jim Bowden report, who he's been giving out all types of juicy reports on MLB Network Radio. And he's talking about last night, Jake McCarthy, Jacob Young, and Cedric Mullins as potential center field options for the Phillies. Don't love any of them. It just feels like something that would be a platoon with either Johan Rojas or Brandon Marsh. And I think getting a great right-handed bat with Brandon Marsh would be a great idea, much more than I think all those guys are much more center field centric. So I would personally have no problem with playing Johan Rojas the majority of days if you can get a really good platoon with Brandon Marsh in there. And I think good guys for that platoon would be Lane Thomas from the Nationals, who would be, I think, a great name. He mashes right-handed pitching, essentially the opposite of Brandon Marsh. You're basically building an all-star caliber player with Lane Thomas and Brandon Marsh as a platoon. So I would definitely be in favor of that. People talk Jazz Chisholm. I just think it's going to cost too much at the end of the day, and I don't love the fact that it's a left-handed bat. I know he has reverse splits, but just don't know how well he fits here. Taylor Ward, I think, won't cost you a ton from the Angels. I think would be a decent name. And the guy who just dominated in Philly, I have to mention, Brent Rooker. And a lot of guys are all in on Brent Rooker, which is, you know, of course, funny because he just came into Citizens Bank Park and absolutely dominated. So everybody's like, all right, I'm all in on Brent Rooker. But my only issue with Brent Rooker is that he kind of is exactly what this lineup, I guess he fits the mold of the lineup well, which is a lot of swing and miss, not a lot of walks. And I know Robert has that too, but Brent Rooker is really a poor fielding, you know, player here. And he has not, you know, played the outfield in many games, if at all, this year. Yeah, he's played 72 innings in left and 30 innings in right. So not much at all. And I would just be very hesitant to go after somebody that struggles in the outfield, because to me, that's been one of the Phillies' huge reasons for success this year, is because their outfield defense is so good. I think Brandon Marsh in left has been a revelation. I think he's a gold glove caliber left fielder out there. We obviously know what Johan Rojas can do. And I think since his trip down to AAA, we know the hitting still hasn't been what you would hope it is. But at the same time, I think he's played an unbelievable center field in his time back up here so far. And Nick Castellanos, it always seems like it's kind of positioned right. And that's a big credit to, you know, Bobby Dickerson and that coaching staff. But I just don't know if I want to trade for a guy who's a real defensive liability out there in the outfield when that kind of all got solved when the DH came and you put Schwarber there and Harper moved to first. And I feel like that was the whole reason you did that. So that's where I'm kind of at on Brent Rooker. He's a really nice bat. He's had a great season. He's taken a little time to develop after being drafted out of Mississippi State. So, again, wouldn't be totally upset if they made the move, but I just don't think it's the best that they can do here. And, you know, you're going for the best. You're trying to win a World Series this year. So those are my thoughts on kind of these trade candidates. And we'll, of course, talk next week when the trade deadline is even closer and get more into it as well. So want to move on here and do a little Pirates series preview for this weekend coming up. And by the way, before I get into it for a second, it kind of relates to it. Major League Baseball came out with their schedule release for next year, which is always so funny to me because they came out with the schedule before the NBA even came out with this schedule for this year. And I know baseball does it, you know, every season. They come out during the season with the schedule for next year. But I just think it's really funny how early they come out with it. But Rob Manfred introducing this new rivalry week type of series where every team plays like a geographical rival, I guess is what it's called. They have the Phillies playing the Pirates for this rivalry week. Like, are you kidding? What are we doing here? Like, that is not even close to a rivalry. And I think Phillies Orioles would have been unbelievable to do. You saw that series this year. You saw how well the ballpark was packed. And I think having a Phillies Orioles series would have been unbelievable. Now you waste it on Phillies Pirates. And I didn't like it. But anyway, Phillies Pirates this weekend, and want to get into the pitching matchups as well as just what I'm thinking over there at PNC Park. Tonight, you are going to have Aaron Nola back on the hill for the Phillies' first game of the second half against Martin Perez for the Pirates. And Nola's been really good since that, I guess, blow-up outing in Boston after the London series. He's been three or less runs every time, and I think his knuckle curve just continues to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. And although he wasn't an all-star, Aaron Nola's been phenomenal this year. And he has a chance to get into like the top five in ERA with a couple of good starts here. And just been really impressed with Aaron Nola this year. Still a great pitcher. And I still have him pitching game two of a playoff series, I'll tell you that. So Aaron Nola going up against Martin Perez, who, not great this year, has a 5.15 ERA, 1.62 whip, not striking a lot of guys out, giving up some walks, and I just think that the Phillies have a chance to take advantage of a good pitching matchup here with their right-handed hitters. I think Edmundo Sosa probably cracks the lineup, and we'll see how Rob Thompson shakes it out. But no Paul Skenes this weekend, by the way, which is, you know, obviously not exciting because as a Phillies fan, you want to see this lineup go against them. But you saw what he did in the All-Star game. That guy's crazy. He is the splinker going for him, which is a crazy pitch, and he throws 100 miles an hour too. So he's going to be a phenomenal player for a long time. But after that, on Saturday, we have got Christopher Sanchez going up against Luis Ortiz for the Pirates. Christopher Sanchez, like I said, coming off an outing where he didn't have to, wasn't too strenuous for him. He was able to only pitch two pitches in the All-Star game, which I didn't love because I wanted to see Torey Lovullo give him the entire inning. But now it gives you a chance to start him this weekend. So he will go Saturday against Luis Ortiz, not Phillies, Luis Ortiz, who was on the 60-day IL. But yeah, I think this guy's only had a few starts so far this year, not expecting too much from this dude. So would expect, you know, he's going to end up throwing probably six innings, one run would be my guess, because he's, you know, just that random guy that ends up shutting the Phillies down. But no, anyway, we'll see what happens there. But again, Chris Sanchez, I think, also in for a big second half. He has just been absolutely incredible for this team so far this year. And to close this thing out, you have Tyler Phillips, the South Jersey native, going up against Marco Gonzalez for the Pirates. So, again, we'll see how Tyler Phillips does in his second start here. I actually thought a lot of his stuff played really well in that first game. And, again, I know it was the A's, but I thought that sweeper looked really good. I thought the sinker at 95 plays really well. And if he can just keep the ball off the middle of the plate, I think he'll have a chance to really succeed here for at least a few starts. So, until Taijuan Walker is back, which I know he is working out. I know JT is working out down in Clearwater as well. But until Taijuan Walker's back, I think I'm okay with, you know, Tyler Phillips, Bishop Eustace graduate, kind of holding things down for the Phillies here as he goes up against Marco Gonzalez, who has only started four games himself this year. So that is going to wrap it up for the preview of the Pirates series, and that'll wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Again, just so glad to have this team back tonight. And really excited to watch the series this weekend. And they've got some tough series coming up. I believe like seven or their next eight series are all against teams that are 500 or better. So going to be a good test for the Phillies here. We'll see if they go for this record. We'll see if they can get to 102 wins this second half. But most importantly, it's time to win a championship. For Phillies Today, this has been Justin Morgenstein, and have a great weekend, everybody. I'll see you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.